RadioInfluence.com.
I got him in the white trunks. He heard it.
That's beautiful.
Oh, God.
That's beautiful. He's got it.
And he scores the top.
Wow.
And here comes a mention. And it's all over. It's
nice.
All over. First round knockout.
Big
he's out. Rich Franklin retains his belt.
The one thing that I never thought in a million years would happen happened.
The champion. The challenger. Here we go.
This is the MMA Report with Jason Floyd on Radio Influence.
Welcome back to another edition of the MMA Report podcast. This is the interview edition of the podcast. Of course, we put out two podcasts each and every week. One on Sunday, which is this podcast, the interview podcast. And of course, on Wednesdays, it is myself and Daniel Galvan talking about the latest things going on in the world of MMA. Of course, on the last episode of the podcast, we took a look back at what happened at UFC 256, gave our thoughts on exactly everything we saw happen. So if you didn't have a chance to check out, listen to that podcast, go right here on the feed, download that show, and hear us talk about what happened at UFC 256. Also, we talked about Yoel Romero now being with Bellator. But coming up here on this episode, I got two interviews for you. You're going to hear from a man who is coming off a win earlier this month at LFA 96. Joe Holmes has had a great chance to talk to him. He is now 3-1 in his professional career. So I had a chance to talk to him about his recent win, how he got involved in martial arts, and so much more. And then the other interview that you're I'm going to have here on this edition of the podcast is with a fighter that is targeting to make his professional debut here early on in 2021. And that is Andre Hafer, trains out of Extreme Couture in Las Vegas. Had a great conversation with Andre, talking about his mixed martial arts journey, which actually his last amateur fight was back in 2016. Started off by, you know, starting at the MMA lab in Arizona, and now at Extreme Couture in Las Vegas. So I had a great conversation with him, talked about a wide range of topics, including his music career. So those two interviews come up here on this edition of the MMA Report podcast. Of course, as always, if you like what you're hearing here on the podcast, and if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, if you leave me a 5-star rating and review, that would be much appreciated. Of course, always appreciate when you do check out the sponsors of this podcast. Just heard from my good friends over at HelloFresh as they're getting back on the podcast. So we're going to have a great deal for you coming with HelloFresh coming up here next week here on the podcast. But let's get right into the interviews. Up first, you're going to hear my conversation with Joe Ugly Man Holmes, who is now 3-1 following his win at LFA 96. Spoke to him about that fight and also a wide range of topics. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man who's come off a victory earlier this month at LFA 96. It's Joe Holmes. Joe, appreciate the time. So I got to tell you a story. I'm watching your fight. And, you know, sometimes my wife will watch fights with me. She's more just sitting on the couch with me more than anything else. So You win your fight. You do your post-fight interview. And when you pull the line out of, if you kick me in my legs, I'm going to punch you in your face. I don't think I've ever heard my wife laugh so hard in her life.
That's funny.
Hey, but you mentioned about,
I was just, go ahead.
But like you mentioned about, you're like, man, I'm 6'4". Like, I know this is like, is this just one of those things of like, just in the gym, your training partners just literally kick the crap out of you just because you know that's what's going to happen in a fight?
Oh, for sure. I mean, they don't do it on purpose, you know, to help me train for it. But you just see like over time, if every single person I've ever sparred, They kick me in the leg, or they try to, like every single person. So yeah, I'm definitely ready for somebody to try and kick me in the leg.
Yeah, obviously you had a great performance. You got in and out of there, you know, pretty quick, just a little over 90 seconds. You know, as you know, a couple weeks have now passed since the fight happened. Like, as you think about it, like, I know as a fighter, you're probably going to more look at the negative aspects of, you know, where you think, you know, you could have done better in the fight, you know, because you're always looking to improve. But like, what's your overall assessment of the fight?
No, I honestly would say that that was probably one of my best performances I've ever had in my entire life. I would say I showed up that night, and I have a lot of finishes, you know what I mean? And and first round finishes at that. And in the fight before that, I even finished a guy in like 30 seconds or something crazy, 40 seconds or something like that. But that fight, I can't say I've ever been more tuned in, you know. And so with that being said, I watched that fight more than I've watched any other fight. And I'm so proud of where I've come. And even the other night, I went back and I watched all of my fights from the beginning, because I'm just in a place in my life right now where I'm just kind of like recollecting on how far I've come. So watching those things, I was just like, wow, like I really have came a long way, and I can actually sit there and be proud of that. And you know, I'm training every day, so it's okay for, you know, to point out the negatives in the gym. But when I'm looking at the fight, I'm like, oh man, this is incredible. Like I definitely am confident that I can go to the UFC as soon as they call and I can win some fights with that performance. Absolutely.
Is there something that you credit in the preparations for that fight of, you know, why you feel this way? Was it something maybe your coaches had said to you that just really stuck with you?
Man, I have videos of my coach talking to me during this camp, because it was a short camp. I think it was just like 10 days or less. And four of those days were weekends, you know what I mean? So everything my coach said, like on the build up to this fight, like what I need to do, you know, all the different things. By the way, my coach is Anthony Selengsing. So everything he was saying to me, like I noticed in the fight when I was watching it, I was doing, you know, like I hurt my toe in camp during some sparring rounds. And it was trying to do a push kick. And I talked to him about it. And he was like, you know, turn the push kick to the side, you know, angle it inwards and use it more like a side kick. And you can see in the fight, I threw one of those kicks and I launched dude halfway across the cage. So it was just like, I literally was just so tuned in on everything. And the fact that I had him giving me advice on how to win the fight helped phenomenally for this camp.
You know, and now you're 3-1. You've, you know, put together now three wins in a row. As you think about this winning streak, like how do you sum it up, you know, in these three fights? Can you sum it up in a couple words?
Where I need to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was it something after your pro fight? Did you, like some guys, I mean, you hate to lose, but some athletes will say, you know what, you need that. In your life, you need to, those things that happen, you know, what, you know, adversity, whatnot. I mean, do you look back at that fight now and say, man, you know what? I moved on from it and, you know, it made me a better fighter.
My loss.
Yes.
Well, I really didn't lose that fight. It was just three people that voted that they think that I lost. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, like even after the fight, I was like, dang, that sucks. Like you really just, you know, mm-hmm. effed up my record. You know what I mean? But, you know, it's not that I needed it, because I didn't need it. You know, I lose every day in the gym, but I was supposed to take that loss. You know what I mean? I was supposed to be shown, like, even though, you know what I mean, I hurt him, I got his face looking like that, and I'm over here looking regular, you know, they still think that I lost. Like I need to be taking people out. I can't even rely on some judges. I don't even know what their names are. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even know what their records are. You know what I mean? How many fights did you have to vote that you think I lost that fight? You know? So that definitely showed me, yeah, you just gotta finish people. And I had some finishes when I was AMI, but I didn't take finishes serious as an AMI. As an AMI, I was trying to get in there, stay safe. You know what I mean? And just don't let them be more active than me. That's where my mindset was as an amateur. And then when I got that loss that I was supposed to take going into a pro, because I was on a Bellator stage, man. Like, I was meeting some famous people who I've been watching before I ever even fought. You know what I mean? So I was, like, starstruck. You know, I'm like, Big John walks up to me. He's like, man, I've been watching you. Keep doing what you're doing. And like all night I was thinking about that. You know what I mean? So definitely, like that loss, now I'm going to finish everybody. Nobody's going to get out that cage.
So we've kind of talked about, you know, what's been happening to you, but recently, but I want to go back to when this martial arts journey for you started. What drew you to martial arts?
Well, I was an athlete, man. I was just playing ball, playing football. I was playing at a really high level. And then it all kind of was taken from me, like, at once. You know what I mean? Like, cold turkey. You know, there was, like, no more football. You know, so at that point, you know, it was, like, fight or the alternative. You know, I even noticed in my life, you know, things were kind of getting it to a negative place where I'm fighting, you know, or that is an option of handling a situation that's presented in my life to fight somebody on the street, you know what I mean? Or, you know, handle the confrontation physically. That's where my life was becoming after football. So when I met a guy who, you know, had an SFS MMA shirt on, and that's all it said on the shirt, I never, you know, I had no idea what that was. I asked him, he said that, and he invited me, and I went, and I was like, dude, this is awesome. You know, so I trained for about 2 months in everything, and then I did a competition in jiu-jitsu, and then, like, I remember it was like a giant, it was like a Europa, but this was like 2000 and like 15 or 16, so Europa was pretty big at that time. Mm-hmm. So I had like 15, 16 matches, man, two divisions, gi and no gi, and I had like, you know, like 8-1 and 7 in the other, and I remember getting like third place and fourth place. And even though I didn't win, but I got a bronze medal, that's the first time I had ever been proud of not getting first place. Mm-hmm. Wow. You know what I mean? I was like, you know what? I'm proud of this bronze. You know, I'm going to wear this thing. You know, I remember we went out to eat and I wore my bronze medal. I was like, I don't care. I had my gi and my bronze medal on. And I was just like, yeah, this is what I want to do.
So what's the best attribute you brought from the football field to the mixed martial arts arena?
I guess my work ethic, mm-hmm. for sure. Like, everybody can say they work hard, but when you really, like, work to, like, in a team sport, for example, or in a football sport, working hard is a complete different thing than it is in here. And I know that because I've been on both sides of the spectrum, mm-hmm. and I've seen what some of the best guys in the world are working hard doing, you know what I'm saying? And most of the time, it isn't about how hard you work in your camp, and I'm sorry to say it. It's more about who can show up that one night and be, you know what I'm saying, the best that they can be. You know, obviously working hard lets the best that you can be a higher level, but most times, you know what I mean, one guy can just snap out of it quicker than the other, and they weren't even supposed to win. You know what I'm saying? So playing football, my level of work is just way higher than the other guys on my level. There's people on a higher level that have been training longer than me, and they're world class at certain things. That would be the only way they would beat me, is if they're world class, because mm-hmm. I feel that I'm world class at working out and being my best. And I learned that from football.
You know, I was just kind of thinking as you were talking about there, you know, football, you can lose one play and it's the next play. You know, you go back to battle. Like, was that kind of in a way difficult when you made that transition of, like, you know, there isn't just the next play. You now got to wait X amount of time. Was that a difficult part of kind of changing your mindset?
Not difficult. Definitely a different perspective for sure. But I also look at the perspective of football is also about that first 8 seconds. It's every single play is just about 8 to about 11 seconds long. So you got a moment of everything you got doing what you're supposed to do. You know what I mean? It looks like a bunch of guys running all over the place, but actually every single one of those guys has a job. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they have to do that job as hard as they can and then get back up and get ready to do it again. And that is one thing that I took with me, you know what I mean? Because if you look at every one of my fights, I get in there and I'm ready to, you know what I mean? I'm staying calm. And then when I go, I'm going. And I'm doing what I was supposed to do, what we planned on me doing. I'm not like one of the guys that, like, you know, they pop their arm out. They do that stuff. I don't do that because that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to hit this guy in the face, right? You're not supposed to act like you're going to hit this guy in the face.
Yeah. In terms of the timeline for your next fight, what's kind of what's you and the team's thoughts on when we could potentially see you back inside the competition?
we're supposed to be getting back in here January. I had more than one person say to me personally, and I say person, I mean promoter, say to me personally they have cards that have people for me to fight here in January. I have not seen one contract. So right now, to me, it's like about who's trying to give me a contract and who's trying to give me a name. I've heard one name, but it's not really at an acceptable weight for me for the for what they're willing to pay. You know what I mean? I'll fight. I fight at 170, but keep in mind, I fought Bellator 170. So to make that weight, it was worth it. You know what I'm saying? I could beat anybody at 185 at this level. Why do I need to cut to 170 to fight?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if you're trying to pay me and give me an opportunity, you know, give me a title shot or give me a contention shot, you know what I mean? Give me some opportunity to make some money on some tickets. Heck yeah, let's have a 170 fight. Give me 3 weeks, 4 weeks, let's have a 170 fight. You're right? I feel like that's fair because I can sell tickets. If you let me give me a percentage, I'll make my money. You know what I mean? But people aren't trying to do that right now.
Yeah, it's a tough part about the regional scene. You know, at this point, got to ask you about the nickname Ugly Man. Is this a football nickname? Is this something you got in the gym?
No, man, it's just me and my friends. I had some, they're still close friends of mine, but me and some friends, we were just out, you know what I mean? We were in the streets, you know, partying, hanging out with all the popular people on campus, and you know what I mean? And then, you know, we just were hanging out and it came up, you know, we always were calling each other ugly anyway, you know, like in a funny, friendly, yeah, family kind of way, you know what I mean? Like somebody, you know, might wear their best clothes, you'd be like, boy, you ugly though, boy, like. But it was just like, man, you know, I ain't ugly. You know, you start roasting back. And it's just like, that's what you do. That's what family does. You know what I mean? And it's all love. And if you're family, you know that that's love. So with that, when people hear my name, first instinct they have is in that offensive way of ugly. They're like, you're not ugly. And I'm like, well, thank you. I appreciate that compliment. You know what I mean? And I wasn't hunting for a compliment. So I appreciate it.
Let's get a couple of, you know, quick hits here. What is the favorite app on your phone that is not social media related?
I got Among Us on my phone and it's so much fun.
I'll tell you, you know what mine is. And I find myself, I'll just start playing this game and then I'm sitting there 45 minutes later, Candy Crush.
Candy Crush? Is that kind of like Tetris?
Yeah, but yeah, basically, honestly, what got me, you know, is I downloaded it for my niece one time and then I just started playing it. And then just like, yeah, my wife is now start playing it. And like, now it's become like a friendly competition of who's got the higher level at this point.
I played that back in high school, so I totally feel you.
Yeah,
but Among Us, so much fun.
I'll have to check that out.
Yes.
In terms of music that's on your phone. Mm-hmm. Is there a genre of music that's on your phone that even your friends would be surprised to know?
I mean, I got a lot of the Frey on my phone.
Okay.
I really like Frey. I don't know if people would think that, and they're old school anyway. I got some Lynyrd Skynyrd on my phone.
Okay.
I think those two, what are those like classical rock and indie rock maybe. So I think people would be surprised.
Yeah. Like the one piece of music, I would be shocked if I have anything. I'm just not in the country music.
You're not in the country at all.
But
I like it.
Here's a better one for you. And I worked for a country station back when I was in radio and doing marketing. One of my stations that I worked for was a country station. Like, yeah, just not my thing.
I guess that's why you worked for them. And you're
look, I'll tell you this right now, because I would literally, you know, work in marketing. You go out to all these concerts. No one parties harder than country music fans.
Oh man, I could see that. I don't ever go into those type of places because I don't have that type of a type. But I'm sure they party hard. I remember one time we almost went to a country club, and then my girlfriend at the time, they let her in, and she wasn't even 21 at the time. And I was like 20, I think, too. And they didn't let me in. And I'm like, dude, you just let my girlfriend in there, and she's only 19. Like, you're crazy.
Yeah, I remember working, because I would do club gigs every Friday and Saturday night while I was working in radio. And I remember one time I had to do a country gig. And so going to the club, and I literally, like, we're like an hour into the gig. And I looked at my jock and I go, they can literally line dance any song. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, "They," and then they put on Baby Got Back and they line dance to it.
What the heck? I remember that song was on demand. Like on your cable, you were able to pull up karaoke on demand. And I used to run that song back and just sing the lyrics karaoke to Baby Got Back. I was like 11 or something at the time. But that song, yeah, that goes deep with me.
Yeah, it's I will tell you, when working club gigs, it was some of the best people watching you ever see.
Oh, yeah. I work at the club now. I'm security at a club right now. And you're right, dude. It's so like... You can just sit there and just, you just think like, wow, people are so like.
it gets better as the night goes on.
Oh yeah. You definitely see more as the night goes on.
Yeah. I think I could probably write a book about the things that I have seen inside a club.
You probably sell it too.
Yeah. There is, it's an interesting life. Let's just say that.
Right.
But yeah, one final thing. In terms of someone meets you, you know, maybe they don't know you're a fighter. And what would they be surprised to know about you? Would there be something that maybe they'd have a perception of you? Maybe they know you're a fighter. Like, fighter said to me, like, I just want people to know I'm not mean.
Right. I guess they would just, I guess if somebody met me and they had only seen me in the cage, you're saying?
Yeah.
I guess they would be surprised at how I was, because I had some students the other day, they watched my fight, and this had been the first time they'd seen me fight. And then one of my students, Allison, she was like, wow, we were watching your fight. And she's like, when you got up after you knocked him out, she was like, you look so silly. We'd never seen you look so serious like that. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, we've never seen you look that serious. You're always so goofy, just playful Joe. And I was like, oh, I mean, I'm sorry. I was just surprised. Like, well, I guess, yeah, I guess you're right. I don't act like that.
Yeah, it's always, you know, I think it's always interesting of when people have these perceptions of you and then they talk to you and then it's like, oh, wow, I was blown away by that.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't try and act like any type of way. And actually, I'm kind of embarrassed by the post-fight reaction I had, just because it was just miscommunications. And with that performance, like, I was just under the impression nobody was going to get to see it when it happened. You know what I mean? So I just kind of popped up like, why would y'all not want that on TV? You know what I mean? Like. And then they're just like, whoa, you were on TV. So I was like, gotcha. Yeah.
Of course, I look forward to seeing when your next fight does take place, Joe. Appreciate the time. Look forward to seeing that matchup. And let everyone know they can find you on social media and anything else you want to mention, man.
Yeah, man. I'm Ugly Man Joe on all social media outlets. I do appreciate the follow. Please get at me. I'm trying really hard to push my social media. And as well as, you know, I got some great sponsors out there. Modern Image, of course. My tattoo artist, Jesse, he's more word of mouth. He doesn't need me to promote him. If you look at his work, it pretty much promotes itself. Excuse me. Massage therapist. She's at our gym, Emmy LMT. You need her, but she's pretty booked too. So, but just pretty much all my sponsors, everyone who's been with me since the beginning, all of my friends and family that support my fights. I do appreciate everything. And I appreciate you and your time. And lastly, I've been working with Iridium Sports Management Agency. We're not officially signed on or anything, but I do appreciate everything that's happened up to this point. And they're awesome, you know. So if you're looking for management, I do want to give them a plug in because of what they have done for me thus far. And I haven't even signed with them yet. It's just the fact that they're really pushing to be like one of the best management agencies out there. And I could say that they have a good shot at that. So Iridium Sports Management Agency, there's your plug in. Appreciate y'all. And I appreciate you and your time, brother.
And that was my conversation with Joe Ugly Man Holmes. I appreciate him coming on the show to talk about his win at LFA 96. Also very interested to hear him talk about his transition from the football field to the mixed martial arts arena. And right, of course, at the beginning of that conversation, talked about his line following his win at LFA 96. If you're going to kick me in my legs, I am going to punch you in your face, which my wife just absolutely lost it when she heard that as I was watching the fights live on UFC Fight Pass. Coming up next, you're going to hear my conversation with a fighter who's looking to make his pro debut in February, trains out of Extreme Couture in Las Vegas. Andre Hafer had a chance to speak to him about his career in martial arts. And also, during the course of this conversation, we talk about his music career. Joining me now here on the MMA Report is a man that I've never had a chance to talk to in the past. Recently got to know him, Andre Hafer. Amateur mixed martial arts about to make his pro debut coming up here. Andre, appreciate the time. I guess first off question is, what drew you to martial arts?
Wow. It was crazy. Actually, I took a scholarship to, OU for wrestling, and, 2 weeks supposed to report to school. I was sitting at my mom's house in Denver, Colorado. And I was like, I don't want to go. I'm not even joking. I literally just sat there. I was like, I don't want to go. I called the coach and I was like, hey, I'm going to go pursue mixed martial arts instead. And they thought I was crazy. I loaded up my car. I drove to Glendale, Arizona from Denver, Colorado, and started training at the MMA lab, and the rest was history.
And so how do you end up from Colorado to Arizona to now to Vegas?
Oh man. So Colorado, born and raised. I went to Glendale just because I'm not even joking. I Googled best mixed martial arts gyms near me. MMA lab pops up, Glendale, Arizona, Benson Henderson, John Crouch. There's a lot of powerhouse guys out of there. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to Arizona. And I had family out there, so it worked. And then after my third amateur fight, I got offered a title defense in Vegas for a real MMA against Cain Marzola. And no one wanted to fight him because he was undefeated at the time and so on and so forth. But I took the fight, and I was working with Anthony Barachek and Luda Elite Management out there in Arizona. And once I got my title and I won my title out here, I was like, this is the fight capital. If I'm going to take this serious, then this is where I need to be. So I came out here.
So prior to going to the lab, like, had you ever been in a martial arts gym prior to that?
No, not whatsoever. That's how I got my fight nickname, The Sauce, because people found out how long I was actually doing this. And they're like, kid, like, you got it. Like, you got the sauce. Like, you need to stick with this. You could really go somewhere with this. I had a crazy upbringing. Street fighting is definitely a lot different than, you know, mixed martial arts. But I was always a fighter. I've always been fighting my whole life. And I just sharpened the tools in the toolbox, so to speak, and I still am. And with that heart and drive and then learning the skills, it makes me very dangerous. So I love this sport. I love what I'm doing. And we're going to run with this all the way to the top. So,
instant love, or did it take time?
No, instantly. So it was crazy. When I went to the MMA lab, I started out just doing Muay Thai. And after training only 1 month there, I was like, I'm going to take my first amateur fight. Only trained 1 month, anything. Didn't do no jujitsu yet. I didn't do nothing whatsoever. Didn't do nothing. And I fought at Co-America Theater, downtown Phoenix, Arizona. And all I had was my Muay Thai background, you know, coming out my Muay Thai shorts. I'm thinking I'm about to strike. This guy's going to strike. Took me right to the ground. Was a jits guy. Got rear naked, and I haven't been choked out since then. I was like, I can't be. I felt what that was like. And I was like, okay, now I see why my coach was like, get your ass in here. Oh, excuse me.
Nah, you're good.
you know, get in here and you need to work. You know, this isn't street fighting these guys. You know, this is level, this is skill. So ever since then, I was just fully dedicated, and I, I was putting my all into it. And I went to make my pro debut actually a year and a half ago when I was in Colorado. And I was on a run and I got hit by a car.
Oh, wow.
So that delayed the fight longer and I was out for a while because of that. So just the whole time, been training. Just because someone's off, that doesn't mean they're not working. I've been working the whole time in the gym. Out here, I'm with Extreme Couture now. I'm working with Dewey Cooper. I'm working with a lot of big people and where I'm at, and everything's looking up. So
you mentioned about that amateur, your amateur debut. That was 5+ years ago. Like, and you talk about like, hey, it was a learning lesson for me because of what happened in there. But like, as you think about like what your mindset was of the fight game, like how drastically different is it right now as opposed to 2015?
Right now this is serious. That's pro now. This is a career. This isn't just amateur. This isn't just for fun. I just have a way more killer mentality. I'm a different person, a different man. I knew that when I signed up with my sports management team, you know, and everyone was just like, hey, it's go time. You know, you've been off for a while. You've been training. You look great. It's go time. What more is there for you to do as an amateur too, when you've already won an amateur title? You know, you've been in here sparring and fighting all these pro guys at the top level. Like, what are you waiting for? And so once I signed that contract, and I knew it was go time. And now we're just waiting on this phone call. So every single day, it's a killer mind state. That's it.
You mentioned about training there at Extreme Couture there in Vegas. What does a daily training life look like for you?
So today, I knew we are going to be doing this interview around noon. So I got up this morning, I ran, then I went to pro practice from 9 to 10 with Eddie Baracco doing striking. We did some striking drills, then we sparred for a few rounds, got some work in, which was great. Today I'm actually going to go do strength and conditioning after this, and then pro practice again is at 3:30. So I've been doing two-a-days as much as I can, even though I'm not even in a fight camp right now, just because, like I said, this is what I'm doing. I'm prepared to go 5-5s. That's my I train. We train for 5-5s. I'm not training just for 5-3s. So I'm just making sure the gas tank is there, everything's there. And for me right now, it's just more mental than it is physical. The skills and everything's there. It's just getting the mind back into, you know, it's time to go to war.
You know, 2020 has been a different year for all of us, no matter what you do, you know, of how we've kind of had to adapt, you know, to what our world is, what we can't do, you know, restrictions there may be. And for fighters, it's, I think, lack of opportunities, especially someone that's at your stage, who's trying to make that pro debut. I mean, like, how do you describe this year? I mean, do you try not to think about, like, you know, I guess you can look at the negative side, but do you try to say, I'm trying to look at the positive sides of how I've evolved as a martial artist?
Well, in that aspect, I've been around the music industry since I was 8 years old. I'm a recording artist, so I have stuff to fall back on just besides, you know. But that was the thing. Once I saw fights weren't happening and so on and so forth, I was still training, getting that work in, but I had my music to carry me, whether it was my streams. It sucks because when Live Nation and AEG went out, I couldn't do no more major shows. But I've done underground shows here and there. I'm also a tattoo artist, so I've had a tattoo clients here and there. I have many different paths to stay afloat. So that's helped me. And that's also helped me with training right now, because if you're not getting paid from sponsors or anyone, you still have to pay your gym. You still have to pay coaches. You still have to. Yeah. So that stuff has carried me through this point to keep training, which is all I can be doing right now for the most part until you get a call. So in my eyes, sitting down and not being able to do as much, and the world being a lot more on hold, has made me a better mixed martial artist because I've trained a lot more.
Obviously, I can see the tattoos you have there. You got the music bars there on your neck, right above the eyebrow. You've got pain. Like, what was the first tattoo you ever got?
That's a dope question. I got my first tattoo actually at 15. My uncle owned a tattoo shop, and my mom was like, you know, went down there and gave consent. And I was like, yeah, and it's this palm on my chest. And it's still, to this day, it looks great. That's why you get professional tattoos. But it says, I forgive you for doubting me. I forgive you for wishing the worst upon me. I forgive because a man is not a man until he begins to take on God. Likewise, I forgive, but I don't forget. And I put it over my heart, because even then, that's what I felt like I was going to live by for the rest of my life. And still to this day, I do. So that was the first tattoo. And from there, I paid him for two more. And then after that, I was 17. And I was like, man, I don't want to pay for tattoos no more. I'm going to learn how to do this myself. And I went under him as an apprentice and never paid for a tattoo ever since then.
Okay, you show off the first tattoo. My first thought is, that's a lot of ink for your first tattoo. Were you like 5 minutes into it going, oh man, this hurts?
No, I knocked all the hard ones out right away. Like, my third one actually was the music notes. And this was at 16, and it still looks like that till this day. I just wanted to get it out the way. I was kind of backwards, so to speak. You know, people are like, oh, I want to do this. And I was like, let's go for it. So, and it was crazy. My face hurt the least out of my whole body.
Really?
I don't know if it's just because we get hit in it all the time or what's going on. But the face hurt the least out of my whole body, as surprising as it sounds.
Wow, that's I would not have expected that. Are you already planning what the next tattoo is going to be?
I have to finish my back. I have a huge lion on my back right now. And that's the hardest piece for me to finish, because when I was a kid, I had a third degree burn on my back. So the skin's very, you know, it's thin. So when a tattoo, I got to get it on my back, it hurts way worse than anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And when I do all my tattoos, I do it straight up. I go in there and I'm not taking nothing. I'm not doing no numbing cream. I'm laying there. I like to feel everything. So I've only been able to do a few hours at a time. I'm just like, I can't do it no more. It hurts too bad.
You know,
I'm like, go get punched and kicked in the face and lay here right now. Like, I'm cool.
So when we talk about you as a person, we've got the love of music. We got the love of martial arts. What would be the third love for you?
I love raising my son and my daughter. Honestly, I like being a father. That means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. It's hard though. I put in all these hours, you know, you come home sore, you come home tired, and you know, and then the daughter wants to go to the park, and then my son is 3 months old. So, you know, he may be up crying and so on and so forth, but mom needs a break. You know, it's just balancing family stuff. But being a father means a lot. Good father means a lot to me. You know, my father wasn't around, so I try to give my kids what I didn't have. Mm-hmm. And I take pride in that. And that means a lot to me. And that's another reason, like I said, for this pro debut and just this drive, I got a family to feed. Even though I have these other sources of income, this is what I'm doing right now. This is where I need to be. And this is what we're running with. So.
Obviously, you've got a ton of things going on in your life. How do you balance the day in, day out schedule?
Well, my whole life, I've been doing this since I was young. I had so many people too, like, why don't you just focus on one thing? Why don't you do this? And that was never my thing. I always like to do multiple things at once. Let's say you and me started hanging out, I'm making some stuff up. You could be like, I horseback ride. Okay, well, I'm pick up on horseback riding, and anything I do it to be the best at it. Mm-hmm. And if I see great at it, I run with it. Always had so many doors open for me, and I just go. And that's how I've always lived my life. And I think it's probably something I live by. I'm big on life's about the journey. So I just journey. I don't care what it is. And that's how I found myself in a lot of crazy things in life, or even, you know, ending up in MMA, just because I was like, I don't want to go to school. I always loved mixed martial arts. Watch this. My dad in the living room. I wrestled. I've been street fighting. Let's go do this.
Hearing you say that makes me think, you're your hardest critic. Is that true?
I am.
Now, in terms of your mixed martial arts career, is it someone like, you know, Dewey that's your hardest critic, that, you know, and sometimes, or is it like, no, man, like when I'm not doing well in the gym, you don't got to tell me. I know it.
No, of course I know, but that's what I love about, you know, Dewey Cooper and the Black Cobra striking system and just the MMA gym they just started over at a big scary gym out here. The team just started, but the coach is in him. He's been a world-class, you know, striking coach. He works with a lot of major athletes. But what I really love about him is when you go in there, if he really is going to take you under his wing and he's going to care for you, he's really going to teach you a lot. And I feel like a lot of big gyms, it's kind of like a meat factory in a sense. They have a lot of star athletes that come through there. You know, there's a lot of things and maybe just a lot of other things they need to focus on right now. So when you're coming in, you're trying to make a name, you know, and when I went to Extreme Couture, and like I said, when I went around Dewey and just these people, just where I need to be, it's where I'm getting the most attention. That's where they're really on me. If I'm off, they're going to tell me about it. If I need to pick it up, I'm picking it up. And that's the thing about Dewey, his conditioning and his striking. That's the first thing I said when I went and sparred actually with Timmy Timmy, I can't pronounce the last name, Cuba. He just made his pro debut, actually, just this weekend, won KO first round. So congrats, Timmy. He's on his way back to Vegas. But the conditioning we do is insane. The striking chills is insane. Just he's another level, and I appreciate him and everyone just for really being there. And because I know who I'm working with in and out of this gym, it's just I don't doubt myself stepping in the octagon. How can I?
Mm-hmm. We'll end on a couple of fun ones here, not really fight related. If on your phone, you're going on an app that's not a social media app, what is a favorite app you have?
YouTube.
Okay.
YouTube.
Yeah, I wouldn't consider that social media.
Or I use my Wim Hof method app a lot. You know who Wim Hof is?
No.
So I learned about him on Joe Rogan's podcast, and I'm very big into being strong in the mind. That means a lot to me. And challenging myself in many ways. And I saw this guy who was doing these breathing methods, and he's talking about how he could control his immune system and adrenaline in his body at will. And I'm seeing how this guy is going on hikes up Mount Everest in shorts, and I'm just blown away. And I'm like, who is this guy? And I looked into him more and more, and I was like, man, let me see what this guy's doing. So I tried his breathing method, and I saw just the results of what came with it. And I was like, whoa, this is crazy. So I kept running with it. So every day I wake up, I do this breathing exercise. Then I take a cold shower and complete cold for 30 minutes. And
I am not a cold. I'm not a cold shower type person. No.
You learn to embrace the cold, though. You become a whole of a human. Embrace that cold. It kind of like you got to embrace the pain sometimes. But yeah, I use that. I use that a lot. I really love that thing. It's a great, great app. So.
All right. So we know how you mentioned about your music career. So if you could work with any artist, composer, producer, past or present, who would it be?
I really would want to work with Bob Marley.
Okay.
But then again, I was always my music's very different and unique. I've always liked Linkin Park, Mike Shinoda and all them. You know what happened and how they fell out. I always wanted to do like a Linkin Park Jay-Z track, you know, collab with them.
Yeah.
With some rapping. But yeah, I've had to say Bob or Linkin Park.
Okay, so, you know, if someone, you know, went to your music playlist and they kind of saw everything you're listening to, everything that's in the phone, would there be a type of music that people would be surprised at seeing that you may listen to every once in a while?
Yeah, I have classical in there. I actually played the viola and sat first chair
when
I was a kid. Yeah. I love classical. I love country. I love techno, dubstep. Music is just a universal language. You don't even have to know the words, and you can feel a rhythm. You can feel a beat. You can feel something from it. You can understand happy, depressed, so on and so forth. So that's why I love being an artist, and it's gone actually very well with my MMA, and that's why I blew up so fast, is because a lot of these guys don't understand, even though we're athletes, we're still entertainers. So after I went to fight, I'm entertaining now. I'm going to the crowd, I'm talking to these kids, I'm taking these pictures, I'm doing these things, I'm throwing my fucking hand wraps out. They're learning a little bit more now since Conor McGregor came out and everyone's trying to do all this stuff now. But it's just something, I've been in the music industry since I was 8, and I brought it over into MMA, but I listen to everything at any time. It's very weird. It depends on my mood and how calm I am too, because I like to stay calm and keep my heart rate really low. And surprisingly, like when I'm about to fight, I don't listen to hype music. I'm not listening to, I'm very calm. I'm in my head. I'm not there, you know?
Final thing, when people meet you for the first time, is there something they're surprised to learn about you, that maybe they have a perception of you, and then they sit, they talk to you, and then all of a sudden they're kind of like, they have a totally different view of you?
Yeah. One thing I love about me is I'm big on showing people not to judge a book by its cover. But I have a lot of people be like, oh man, you're so nice and so down to earth. I thought you were going to be mean. And I'm like, what? They're like, I don't know. Just you have it. You're kind of intimidating. And I'm just like, yeah, no, just I'm very big on respect. I give everyone the same. I live by this. Everyone has the same respect. It's like having a shovel, and you're either going to dig yourself a hole with me or you're going to gain it. I'm very just down to earth and very humble. I love to meet everyone. I love to talk to everyone. I'm a people person. So people get surprised by that sometimes, I guess, because of how I look. But that's one of the biggest things I learned in MMA is don't, you know, look doesn't mean nothing. Mm-hmm. Don't get scared by imagery or, you know, perception, because what you perceive is reality. But I don't let none of that get to my head. You got to show me.
And of course, we look forward to seeing when that pro debut is going to take place. Of course, let us know anything find on social media, and of course, where they can find your music and anything else you want to mention.
Instagram is no name L N as in Nancy. YouTube's no name Lane. Everything, you go to Apple Music, Spotify, it's all the same. No name L N. You can find the music videos, so on and so forth. Fight career, we're looking at February. We're just waiting on this phone call right now. So stay tuned. I appreciate you for having me on the show, and it was great.
And that was my conversation with Andre Hafer. I appreciate him coming on the podcast to talk about his mixed martial arts journey, and very interesting to kind of hear how he ended up, you know, deciding not to go into college wrestling, ends up at the lab down in Glendale, and now has made his way up to Las Vegas. Also talk about his music career and various other things. So I really appreciate Andre coming on the show to talk to me about everything going on with him. Of course, be sure to give Andre a follow on social media. You heard him there in the interviews. Also be sure to give Joe Ugly Man Holmes a follow on Instagram as well, and all of his social media platforms. So I really do appreciate both of those fighters coming on the podcast here to talk to me about their careers. Now, of course, as a podcast that comes out on Sundays, the other episode during the week comes out on Wednesday. We will not have an episode on Wednesday. We will likely have an episode on Thursday. I'm going out of town here for the early part of the Christmas holidays. Of course, Merry Christmas to everyone out there. Of course, Christmas just a couple of days away, and yeah, I have done no Christmas shopping, so I guess I should probably get some Christmas shopping done here. But Merry Christmas to you and your family. Hopefully you have some great times. Hopefully you're off work and can relax. Of course, we are now in a stretch where we do not have a UFC event for a couple weeks, as this week ended a 24-week run the UFC has had, where they have had a fight card every week. Now, the next UFC fight card will not be until January 16th. And of course, then that train is going to really start rolling on as we head in here to 2021. As, you know, I mean, you know, look, part of me says I'm excited that we don't necessarily have a fight card every week, but definitely having fight cards gives me content to talk about on this podcast. But of course, the big fight to start the year of 2021 will be Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier. Looking forward to that one. Of course, that's going to be the next pay-per-view coming up there on January 23rd. Of course, the year is going to kick off with Calvin Kattar and Max Holloway. Really looking forward to that featherweight matchup. Should be a great matchup there. I believe that's going to be taking place there on Fight Island. So as always, appreciate everyone that checks out this podcast each and every episode. And of course, if you're not following me on Twitter, would appreciate a follow on Twitter. That's at Jason_Floyd. Also, be sure to follow the MMA Report on Instagram. Try and put some more stuff up on Instagram with little clips of the interviews that I do. That is at the MMA Report, at TheMMAReport. So that's going to do it for this edition of the MMA Report podcast, as new episodes come out every Sunday and Wednesday on RadioInfluence.com, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and TuneIn Radio.